How's everybody doing on this beautiful autumn morning? And I'm just excited. I'm excited what God is doing. I see there's a women's meeting. We had a men's meeting yesterday. I know we advertised it, men's meeting, and then we had tea and scones. It's the first men's meeting that I've been to where there's tea and scones. It was a bit lame, but then I didn't judge them. When I arrived there, I found out that this church, they're actually in the middle of a fast. They're fasting in Belfast. But anyway, we had a good time. They guaranteed me next time there's going to be some bacon in the house. And so I'm excited about that and to be back there and have some bacon and some fellowship. Men need men. Amen. I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you that we can be together in one place. Father, we come this morning with an expectation because we want to meet with you. Father, you are the reason we are here. You are the reason we exist. And Father, we just realize that we are lost without you. Father, we thank you that we can come as we are this morning. Whatever we've experienced in this week, that we can boldly come to the throne room of grace this morning. And Father, we want to receive all that you have for us. And we just praise you this morning because you are so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as Troy said, we've just started a series last week called The Ripple Effect. And I'm excited about this series because I believe that God has called us to affect and influence our city, not just our city, but the nations. That's what we call every nation. God has called us, has given us the great commissions in Matthew 28. And we see that he's instructing us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And so for some of you that are here for the first time, we are part of a global family called Every Nation. And by God's grace, we are now in 82 different nations worldwide. And just doing our part and really just following what God has called us to do. And that's to go and make disciples. And so we are in the second week of a new series, The Ripple Effect. And so that's just my prayer is that wherever we are and wherever you come from, that you'll know that God has called you for a purpose. That God's got a plan for your life. And so as I shared last week, I shared about Abraham and how God uses the ordinary things in this world to do extraordinary things. You know, is he called Abraham to leave his country? You know, there were some sacrifices that he made. And then God called him to himself and then gave him a promise. And, you know, and because of Abraham's sacrifices and obedience, we are benefiting from it today. Because there's a blessing that came. And how many of you know that when we are, obedience is a direct result of our obedience to God. And that's what he's called us to do. And so, a ripple effect, it means a spreading, a pervasive and usually unintentional effect or influence. And that is what he's called us to do. He's called us to be influencers, to be influence people, wherever we go, freely we've received, not freely we can give, we can pass on to people. And so a ripple spreads when God works in and through individuals' lives, and when we then witness how the resulting ripples from the actions impacts the lives and the nations. Friends, it's all about the next generation. I don't know about you, I just know that I'm passing through. But there's some things that I need to pass on. And all my children, I've got three children, and I have a responsibility as a father to be a good influence and to pass some things on to my family. And I want to share with you this morning about the ripple effect of prayer. If we can get this going. The ripple effect of prayer. No. And, you know, I know that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. How many of you agree with me? I've seen God move in prayer, and I love prayer. I've been in seasons where I've been waiting and I've been praying, and I've seen things happen. I've seen God move, and He's answered prayers. When I pray, then the next day there's an answer. And how many of you know that it doesn't work that way all the time? You know, some of you might be in a season of waiting, and you've been praying and praying, and it's like, God, why is this not happening? And there's a frustration, and I know that, you know, some of us, you know, this season has been a season of stretching. And I know, and I've said this before, you know, to get to, we will need to go through, and sometimes we need to go through seasons in our lives where I believe God draws us to Himself and really helps us to focus on Him. And our dependency is upon God, and it's about His promises. And so I don't know about you, you might be in that place where you feel a bit stretched, torn between things. And I just know that is a good place, but it's also a challenging place. And so I want to look at how our prayers have an effect on the nations, and how it can affect people's lives. I love this story of the Ulster Revival in 1859. Two faithful men called Dr. William Gibson and Reverend William McClure, who had just returned from North America and had witnessed firsthand the awakening that was taking place in the church there. Thank God for the Americans and what's happening in that nation and what they've done to impact the nations. The Azusa Revival that happened in California. Things that men have come from different nations to ignite something in the spirit in this nation. And I'm so thankful for these two men because they got a revelation of prayer. And they were encouraged because they believe and they've seen and they've witnessed the power of prayer at work in people's lives. And so they came back and at this schoolhouse in Calson, Ulster, they started to pray. Men and women started to come together and they saw the power of God move in lives and at that place. And as they prayed, that place just started to, it was too small. And they just felt, no, this prayer needs to go beyond the four walls of this room. And they started to gather in these halls. And you know, there was a statistic that I found of 10,000 salvations in a couple of weeks. That is what God can do, my friends, through the power of prayer. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And I long for an encounter with Jesus. I long that people will experience His manifested power as we come together. God says that where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is. And that His desire is in the same way as He instructed His disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the Father's desire is that heaven will manifest on the earth. That we will get a taste of heaven. That people, you know, there's a revival in heaven right now. People are worshiping Jesus right now. Non-stop. Worship is continuing in heaven. And I believe that Father wants us to experience that on the earth. When we open our hearts, when two men, you know, had a desire, they just wanted more of Jesus. They knew that, you know, when they met up in the States, that it's got to go beyond us. How can we influence? How can we bring? And they just decided, you know what, we're going to bring back that faith. Because what? Faith comes by hearing, and I believe also by seeing and witnessing. And they came back with an expectation, and they got people together. And God was stirring in their hearts. What if? What if we come together and we start believing God for the miraculous? Let's start believing God for a mighty move of God in Ulster. And so that's what God did, is He started to touch some lives. And people came to salvation. People had encounter with the living God. And it's not just about our private prayer lives. It starts there, and we're going to have a look at that, and I'm going to share an example with you this morning. But it's going to go beyond the prayer room, you know, where our prayers are going to start moving from Lord bless me, to Lord bless them. Start blessing our nations. And do not underestimate what God is going to release through you. Because it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, was in the 1859 revival, is still here today. And then we also have access to heaven. And so when we pray, heaven comes down. It changes, it transforms lives. And this is why we're here. Because we want to see transformation. We want to see that God's Spirit breaks out in on our campus, moves on our campus. It moves in hearts and in families. How many of you know that our city needs Jesus? It desperately needs a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. Not just our city, but the nations. My nation, South Africa, really needs Jesus right now. It really needs change and transformation in hearts. And as we live in this city, we see many walls, but I believe that those walls are in our hearts. And I believe as we encounter Jesus, these walls of bitterness and all these things are broken. And then we can have, because we have those access to the Father. And so He started to change our hearts. I just love some of the people that God has brought into my life. How many of you have experienced that at that season of your life where you are like stretched? God positions and He gives you somebody. He gives you a voice. And I remember that so well. It was in 1984. I was 6 years old. Now some of you are going to do the maths here. I was 6 years old and there was a... And my family at the time, my dad was struggling and you know, my mom and dad, their relationship, their marriage was in turmoil, and we were not walking as a family with Jesus. And there was a lot of uncertainty. You know, as a young man, I could see my mom was upset. She was crying a lot, and there was a bit of shouting going on. And then God sent a saint. He sent the most beautiful lady from that local township to come and work in our home, and you know, as a nanny, and she would, you know, take us to school. We had the privilege, and she would come and, you know, fetch you at school and make you lunch and dinner. And I wish she was here right now, at this season. But you know, we were just so blessed by her presence. She was more than just a maid in the house. She was there on an appointment, an assignment. She knew and loved Jesus. And I remember as a, I think I might have spent time on her back as well at a couple of times, but she would walk through the home, our house, and just praying and singing songs to Jesus. And she would pray for us, and she would, I would see her just sit down with my mom and have these deep conversations. And my mom allowed her in. And I could gradually see how things were changing in our house. The atmosphere started changing. Where was this heaviness in our house, there was this sense of, you know, just freedom started to come as she was putting on her songs and worshiping Jesus. Friends, from making a long story short, because of her, our family have now experienced Jesus 2 years later, 1986, when my father and mother decided to go to church because she instructed them and they've given their lives to Jesus. because of their salvation, now I started to go to Sunday school and started to hear about Jesus. And so because of what she did, is it had a ripple effect through our family. And we started, and our family then had a desire to reach out to our neighbor. And so we had prayer meetings with, you know, this wonderful lady named Anna. And it has been amazing just to have the privilege of having somebody like that being sent by God on appointment to reach out to a family. I love how God works. I love how God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary, the unexpected. But you know what? She had just a desire that everybody would come to know the Jesus that she loves and serves. Many years later, I found Anna. You know, she was walking, and this was about 15 years ago. And as she was walking through a shopping mall, and she walked up to me, and she recognized me, and I recognized her. I mean, this is years ago, okay? No, it's just about 17, 18 years ago. No, it's way beyond that. But, and she just said to me this. She said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "How do you know that?" And she doesn't have Facebook. She doesn't have access to the internet. She's left my parents years ago. I mean, she's an older lady now. And she said, "Yes, you know, when you were a boy, I prayed for you, and God told me that you're going to be a minister. God told me that you'll stand." She said, "Are you preaching in front of people? Because when you were a little boy, I saw you preaching and sharing to people about Jesus. And that was my prayer to you." Isn't that amazing, friends, how somebody just takes that initiative. "I'm not going to share about Jesus." She could have just been in her home and just kept quiet, just kept the mouth shut and just privatized her faith. But instead, she did the opposite. She said, "I'm going to share this Jesus with people." I believe the purpose of prayer is to see the work of God accomplished in my life and then through my life and in the lives of others. So it starts with us, our personal life, our relationship with Jesus, as we have not just a monologue with Him, but a dialogue with Him on a daily basis. And we allow Him into our lives. We see that through our lives, God accomplished to us to share Him with others. And our lives will start affecting not just our family, but the life of many. And I want to just share with you this morning about Hannah, and you know, just the season, because I believe some of us here this morning, you're going through a season where you're stretched. And if some of you know the story of Hannah, she did not have an easy life. It wasn't convenient. She felt the tension. And as we read from 1 Samuel, if you've got your Bibles here, we're just going to just walk through that this morning. 1 Samuel 1, and I'm just going to just read through and just really summarize the story, because there's a lot in here. And what we really want to take and extrapolate from this life of Hannah is something I really believe God wants us to apply. There's some lessons here for us to learn. And wherever you find yourself today, and so I'm going to read here. It says, "There was a certain man from Ramathine," some big words in here, "Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni, Phinehas, and two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all his sons and daughters. But Hannah, he gave a portion, a double portion, because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Now, you know, there was a struggle there. Just think about, she's going to this place every year and this Peninnah will just provoke her. She heard these voices saying, you know, you're not producing. Look at you. It was a bit of a cat moment fight there. I don't know what it was, but there was a tension between her and this lady that tried to just provoke her. Hannah was loved by her husband Elkanah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Every year, Hannah would accompany her husband in worshiping and sacrifice to God at Shiloh. And every year, the other wife, Elkanah, you know, would just remind her over and over and over. How many of you have been in a season of waiting and you've heard these voices? Did God really say? And you just hear these voices that will just provoke you, negative voices. And that is what she experienced in her life. Peninnah had children and was making life miserable for her. You know, in life we have people that either build you up or break you down. In this case, Hannah was very alone. She felt alone. But, you know, she knew that she was loved by her husband. Now, at the time, you know, he had two wives. Interesting. But he knew that she loved him. And there was this relationship that they had. And it says in 1 Samuel 9, it says, "So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish." Now, there was a vulnerable moment. She's like, "God, I am frustrated." You know, she's been asking and asking, "God, I want a son. I want this." And there was that moment where the priest Eli then looked at her and answered and said, "Go and," you know, he realized, you know, he actually thought that she was drunk. Now, I don't think that Eli ever had anybody in the temple that had that type of prayer, that yearning, that crying out, that expressed their frustration. I don't know about you. I've been through those seasons when I was really stretched and I was on my knees and I'm like, "God, honestly, I pray for people and they get healed. And then I pray for my daughter and nothing happens. What is this all about?" And so in that waiting, in that moments of God, having those really honest conversations. And I tell you guys, there's moments where I was so angry at God. I'm like, "Lord, why? What is happening here? Why is my child not getting healed? Why am I not seeing the breakthrough? I've been faithfully giving. I've been faithfully reaching out, but I'm not seeing any change." And there was a wrestling going on in her heart towards God. It says here, "Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She was pouring out her soul before God. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. And this is what she said in verse 26. She said, and she said, O Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Friends, it was a time that Hannah prayed. I don't know, always know if she prayed for all the right reasons. Maybe there was a selfish reason. She was provoked. She wanted a child to prove and say, you know, look, I am fruitful. But, you know, I just knew that it was just more as God, as she waited on God. I believe God showed her that in that delay, there's more to this child. You know, and that might have been a selfish prayer at one stage, but it came to that at the time she knew that Israel really needed a strong leader. The Israel was defeated by the Philistines at the time, and she knew that I'm going to pray for a son. You know, she could have prayed for a little daughter and maybe go do shopping together. I don't know. But she prayed for a son. And she knew that her prayer was not a selfish prayer, but it was a prayer because she was thinking about the next generation. She was thinking not about herself and having her little boy she always wanted. She wanted this boy, but she knew that this boy, as she dedicates him, and this is what she said, that this boy will be a blessing for the generations to come. The name Samuel in Hebrew means asked of God. God has heard. Friends, God heard her prayer. I just love the way that she just persisted, you know. She's just, you know what, I'm going to believe God for this child. And we know what God did is through Samuel. He was an amazing prophet, and he was the one that anointed David to become king. That is what she gave birth to. That is what God gave her. The gift that she received has now affected our lives, the generations after her, and that is how God works. God's desire is that we will seek Him and develop a lifestyle of prayer that would cause a ripple effect and impact others. This is what I love about Andrew Murray. Prayer is not monologue, but dialogue. God's voice in response to mine is its most essential part. And I believe that what Hannah experienced and what seemed a bit like monologue, but you know, there was, she heard from God. She knew God will provide. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. It is at the same time a great privilege, a fierce struggle, and in a powerful miracle of the Spirit who helps us in our weakness in prayer. Friends, prayer, I've learned this. It's not always easy to pray. There's sometimes I find myself in situations and similar to Hannah, I just don't know what to pray. Sometimes I'll just sit and just, you know, the words, it's just so difficult to come. I said, Lord, how do I pray in a situation? I've just had a situation 2 weeks ago where my brother tried to take his own life. And when I heard that noise, I'm like, how do I pray, Lord? Where do I start? And so for us as a family, you know, going through this time, and we realized that, you know, our test becomes our testimony. Our pain becomes our pulpit. And I know that same in Hannah's life, you know, she had a testimony. There's no testimony without a test. But even now in this time, you know, that is what God has given us. It's such a gift. The fact that we can communicate to a God, that He is mindful in the midst of that storm, in the midst of what we're facing right now, and what my brother's going through, my prayers, it's got to affect. And the wonderful thing is that even this week, I had a conversation with him 2 days ago, and he shared with me that, you know, today, as we speak, he's in church for the first time, the second time in 35 years. You know, I've been praying. I said, Lord, I want my brother to experience this. He's had many moments like Hannah where he's like, okay, God, do you exist? And he was just so frustrated. He just gave up. He said, God doesn't care. He's not listening to me. I've called out to him many a times. But the wonderful thing is God answered his prayer, because last week when my sister went to the pharmacy, she bumped into an old friend, a school friend, and they were all friends years ago. And then the guy asked her, how are you doing? And she just burst into tears and just shared the story. And the guy said, you need to phone this friend of ours that he played with many, many years ago. And so God made the connection there. But meantime, the people of God were praying. And so what happened is there, I spoke to this man and he has found Jesus. He does Alpha courses in Somerset West. And, you know, he knows my brother, and, you know, there was just this connection. And he had a meeting with my brother, and they have chatted for over 3.5 hours. And my brother opened up, and he cried, and you know, now here's somebody that God has sent, the same as in 1984, God sent us help. But guess what? Help arrived. There's somebody now that is walking with my brother, sitting down and willing. And my brother's open. He's going to teach him about the things of God. He's going to teach him about the love of God and the nature of God. And he's going to help him to lay some foundations in his life, that whatever storm may come, that he will stand. That is the God that we serve. And that today that he will actually say, I'm going to church. That is God. That can only be God. Because your heart can be so hardened, because I'm not getting the responses. I'm not getting the replies that I really need right now. God, where are you? But God comes to our rescue, and He sometimes uses people to answer your prayer. Prayer is a place of abiding in Christ, or connecting with the Holy Spirit, that energizes us to love God, that first commandment, to love God, and which causes us to overflow in love for others. That is that place, friends, that we come, and we've heard, even as we prayed this morning, it's that invitation. As the Father sits, He invites us to come and sit on His lap, and He talks to us, He whispers in our ear. We're connecting with Him, we've got fellowship, relationship with Him. That is what He wants. God is a relational God. He longs for relationship with you. His love sick for you. That's what he wants. And he invites us in and he said, come. And we can talk to him. And that's where my heart, you know, the more time I spend with God in prayer, the easier it becomes to live him, to imitate him, to love others. I cannot love people if I have not received love. I cannot give something if I have not received it myself. And so for me, it becomes easier if I'm going to love people. And there's some people, let's be honest, there's some people, it's hard to love them. It's very difficult. But if I realize how much I'm loved, it becomes very easy. Because freely I've received, now freely I can give. So it's important. When we start our day, we spend time with our Father. And so, Lord, and we just say, Lord, come and fill my heart. It's not a once-off thing. Now I've crossed over and now I'm in Christ. But constantly, you know, we need to spend time with him. Get filled up. Some Americans here, you know, you love refills, right? In the States. When I was there, I got refills all the time. Like, man, too much corn syrup, right? Enough. But you'll go back and you'll just fill up. It's easy. And they'll keep drinking, filling yourself. Be filled. Get a refill. Get more of him. Be filled daily. It's an ongoing thing. Prayer is so necessary because it causes our spirit to be energized, releases God's blessing in our circumstances, and results in a real changes in this church, the nations, and society. It energizes us. I don't know about you. I need to be energized. I need that. I need strength. David, when he came from one of the biggest battles in his life, it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. How did David strengthen himself in the Lord? He just knew, I'm going to spend time. He had these moments where he would just write and sing a song, I don't know, and just write poetry. And there was dialogue there. That's what we need. Because we are called to affect, to influence. It's more than just you. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. Sometimes our mind gets in the way. It's all about me. And Lord, look at me. We throw a pity party. It's not. If we open our eyes and we see around us, the need is overwhelming. It's there. There's people that needs us. You are on assignment, my friends. You're on assignment by the King, and God wants to bring you in places. He wants to share you with people. So we can't be all wrapped up. You are a gift in the Father's hand. And he's going to open you up, and he's going to share you with people. That's the beauty. He will not keep him. So easily we can just go and sit at that place. But in the meantime, he's just saying, I want you to go. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, I like that, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This church knew, had a revelation of prayer. The early church, Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to the fellowship. There was something essential, vital component for a thriving church was the prayer. It was very important that they prayed together. And we saw the results, the testimonies. When they prayed, the place they were gathered together was shaken. And so when we pray together, God loves it when he is invited. When people pray together, there's the presence of God comes. God can come in you, but he also can come upon you. And he desires to come upon us, constantly being filled. And we see what a ripple effect this had on the community. As the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness to go and pray for other people. Say, hey, listen, can I pray for you? John, can I pray? And John goes to the gym in West Belfast and there's somebody struggling there and saying, can I pray for you? Doesn't have to be this long prayer. Say, listen, just a short prayer. That's what God did in Acts. And I believe that was a model that was used then and it's still relevant to us today. And so this is the culture that we want to establish in this church, that we are people of prayer. This is a house of prayer for the nations. This is a house of prayer where we believe God has called us to pray and intercede. So we know that prayer is a powerful weapon. James 5:16, the earnest and heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And that's what I've realized over the years, situations I've found myself in. I will never forget this. In South Africa, where my parents live, I remember the time there was we were in a restaurant and we heard that there's a big fire on the mountain. It's not uncommon. It happens during the summertime. People throw their cigarette out and there's a fire that will spread on the mountain. And so we were in this restaurant and we heard on the radio, my sister heard on the radio and then she contacted us and then she said, you better go get up to your house because there is a fire. So we got in the car, we arrived there and people were coming down and a neighbor was throwing his stuff in. He said, we better get out. And I had that moment where, you know the house might burn down, so what do you grab? What do you take with you? What is your most valuable possession? And so I remember my sister was a young Christian at the time. She grabbed her Bible and, she went outside and my dad took his computer and all his stuff, his hard drive. And there was a lot of important documents there. And my poor mother, she was just grabbing everywhere things that she could take with her. I remember I took my passport at the time. But suddenly, we as a family decide, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Oh, I think we should pray. Sometimes this is like an afterthought. And so we just started to pray in the spirit and we prayed. And then the next moment, the pastor of their church came and we started to pray together. And he said, hey, listen, let's go to the roof. Now, it sounds like a ridiculous thought at the time, but we did. The winds were howling and we went up on the roof and we suddenly felt, and when we were reminded of when Jesus rebuked the storms, we got in that, so we said, okay, well, now we're going to speak to the storm, right? Because we literally could see houses burning down around us and these high winds. And so this pastor, and I was so encouraged by this, and he just then, just pointed his finger like this. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I command the storm now to turn, this wind to turn. I rebuke this in Jesus' name. Friends, I could remember because it was, we could see the direction of the wind blowing. It was right in our face. And the moment when he rebuked that storm, that wind literally turned. The wind turned. And the fire, we could just see it stopped literally just about a block from our home. And we knew that this scripture came to mind, that the prayer of the righteous are powerful and effective. When we pray and with authority, because you know what? We've been given authority. God has given us authority because we have been raised up with Christ and we've seated with Him in heavenly places. So we have a position. And when we pray, because when we see that position, it's above the things, the elements, and we have been given authority. He's authorized us. And so when we start praying in the Spirit and we start praying and declaring these things and speak to these storms of our lives, then things happen. Our prayers have the ability to change the atmosphere. Places that we go and pray. We've prayed in people's homes. People have prayed in my home, and You know, there's just these things like a thick cloud that just wants to come over your house, like a heaviness. And there's a scripture that says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then we start to pray. And we started just to praise and worship God. And this heaviness will just lift off. And then my kids will suddenly sleep. Where there was restlessness, peace comes. Friends, that is the power of prayer. I love how God works through us. He chooses to work through us. And I think what we're experiencing right now, and even in this season of Halloween, and you know what's happening out there, and you know the fear the enemy wants to release over people, the intimidation. He's called us to arise in the midst of the storm, and in this season of stretching, He's calling us to pray. Do not give up on prayer. Do not give up on prayer. And maybe that's some of you this morning, you know, you want to really grow your prayer life. We have a prayer team here. That's how I learned. I remember when I became a believer, I didn't know what to pray. I thought, okay, I'll just pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Maybe it's where you start. But when I started to spend time with other people, I was, you know, a bit intimidated at first because, I mean, they've got these long prayers. But just start off. Pray from your heart. And you start learning to pray, how to pray. And I believe the enemy's mission is to hinder and disarm us in prayer. That's how he's trying to hinder us, stop us from praying. Oh, just shush. I mean, Hannah could have just stopped praying. Don't cease praying. Because he knows well that people of prayer, it's powerful. People of presence are powerful. Where do we get presence from? Is when we pray, when we spend time with our God. And that's what he will try to do. And as I said in Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places, heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So know your position, friends. Know your God-given authority. It is so important. This is what he's called us as people of prayer. It says, Isaiah 62, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night, that they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Now God has given us a position on a wall. Now I've been to Israel many times. Many of you know I love going there. And we've walked on the walls of Jerusalem. And I've seen the position as a watchman. Because they'll position themselves and they'll see what comes against the house of God, against the city. And I believe in the same way God has positioned each one of us as watchmen on the walls of our homes, where we can pray and intercede, but over on the walls of our church, praying for the members of this church and for this city. And that is the position that He's given us, and we want to see. It says, I like that we will not keep silent. They shall never be silent in continuing to pray. There's a problem when we stop praying. That's when we get overwhelmed. There's things that really comes up against you and discouragement. And sometimes, you know, I'm in a, you know, like in a situation, I don't know what to pray. I'll just take the scripture. I'll just read God's word. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so I started declaring from God's word, no weapon formed against my family shall prosper. The Word of God says, if He is for me, who can be against me? There's more for me than against me. And we have to be reminded, reminded and then throw off, that there's more for us in this battle. Wherever you are right now, you just feel a bit overwhelmed. Then you're like, oh gosh, everything is against me. No, no. God says, there's more for you than against you. And we need to get that perspective. And when we are in that place and we say, Lord, give me a revelation of what it means to be seated you in heavenly places, God will give you a bit of a picture of who's for you. Your daddy is for you. And that's what we need to know. Bill Johnson says the biggest enemy to prayer is praying for something you already have. Sometimes I used to pray this, Lord, please give me authority and defeat Satan and give us victory over his powers. Amen. Now, what does it say? You have been given authority. And Jesus already defeated Satan. He's already defeated. And I ask, you know, Holy Spirit, come and live in me. Now we know that we need to pray that during the day. You know, we ask God to keep filling us. But I've realized that we're already filled with the Holy Spirit because He dwells in our lives. So let's not ask for something that you already have. You have authority. It's just you need to realize your authority. And so that's where we want to help you. This is why we're here. We are passionate about this. We believe in the power of prayer. Just close your eyes for a moment. And just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you just for reminding us that you are for us and not against us. Father, I thank you just for the life of Hannah and Lord, just revealing to us and reminding us, Lord, that we need to persevere in prayer. Lord, even promises that we've received. And Father, also when we receive that promise, Lord, we also know that there's voices coming up against us. Lord, in the same way that Hannah received these discouragement for Penina, Lord, and how she try to provoke her. Lord, and I know some people here are provoked. They're hearing voices. People are saying things to them. They are reacting instead of responding. Lord, help them to respond. Help them to move in the opposite spirit and really believe what you are saying. And Lord, I just pray that you silence these voices around us in Jesus' name. In this season where many of us feel stretched, I just pray, Father, for your grace upon each and every one, God. And I just pray that you'll help us just to grow in our prayer life. Lord, that this will not be monologue, but dialogue with you. And just that we'll hear your voice. Your word says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And Father, we want to hear your voice. Help us to respond. Help us to, Father, walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. And what we see and what we hear, help us to fix our eyes upon you, Father. And we know, Lord, in this season, you are calling us to yourself. And I thank you, God, as David strengthened himself in you, Lord, I pray you'll strengthen some people here in Jesus' name. If some of them are feeling overwhelmed, God, I pray that you'll reveal to them that there's more for them than against them. I pray for your supernatural protection over them. Lord, I pray that they will not walk with fear, but they will feel secure because they are in the Father's arms. Lord, I pray that this morning that you'll just comfort those, Lord, here this morning, whatever they're going through, Father. We thank you that our prayers, that you are mindful, that you hear our prayers. Give us strength. And I just pray, God, that hope will arise. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you've called us to to play our part in our city. Lord, I pray that our prayers will have a ripple effect through this city, Father, in our families, Lord, that we'll start with our family. And God, through that, Lord, I thank you for many lives that will be affected, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that you have anointed us this week to go and preach the good news, to help those people in need. Comfort those who mourn, Lord, I pray. Give us wisdom as we pray for people and show us how to pray, Holy Spirit. We ask all of these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.